And it's 7:49. I'm Emily Riley with Raven News for Friday, August 30th, 2013. Sitka police are investigating a Wednesday night accident that left a semi-truck trailer flipped over on its side along Sawmill Creek Road. The accident happened at the 2400 block of Sawmill Creek Road. That's just behind Shotgun Alley. Sitka Police Lieutenant Barry Allen says the authorities responded around 10:15 Wednesday night to a call from a passing motorist who saw the truck on its side. The driver, who was uninjured, told police his load shifted as he rounded a corner. Allen says the driver tested negative for alcohol. The truck was carrying empty fish totes and was headed outbound to Silver Bay Seafoods. The State Department of Transportation's Commercial Vehicle Enforcement Unit is also consulting on the case. The Greens Creek Mine on Admiralty Island might have to shut down in 2016 unless it can find more room to dispose of its spent ore. Mike Satry, the manager of government and community relations for the Hecla Mining Company, told the Sitka Chamber of Commerce this week that Greens Creek was undertaking an extensive permitting process to increase the area it can put spent ore, known in the industry as tailings. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
The best thing to do with mine tails, Satry said, is to put them back in the ground. And that's what Greens Creek does with a little over half of the rock it extracts. It's mixed with cement and used to fill shafts and leads and provide solid support for the miners working other parts of the ore body. But that leaves the rest on the surface, a large pile of material in a national monument in the middle of the continent's largest rainforest, a large pile of material that can't get wet. Satry described the pains Greens Creek takes to store tails.
So what we do is we dewater those tails, we truck them down to the Hawk Inlet area. We have an engineer facility where we cleared and grubbed everything off. We put down geotextile lining. We've isolated any water from coming into that area. And we place those tails in a very engineered fashion and then protect them from oxygen and air infiltration and ultimately plan for closure.
Water and oxygen plus mine tailings produces an acid, Satry said. Greens Creek collects runoff from the tailings area and sends it to its own water treatment plant. The trucks that deliver tailings are rinsed in a giant car wash.
We've gone through one EIS, one expansion that allowed us to come out this way to the east and a little bit higher than originally planned and permitted. Now we need even more room, so we want to come further to the south. We've gone through an EIS process that, of course, has multiple alternatives that are out there. There is a no-action alternative, just like anything in a NEPA process. If we don't get a permit to expand our tails facility, probably by 2016, the mine will be forced to shut down and go into reclamation and closure. We simply won't have a place to put our tails.
Satry made the case before the Sitka Chamber that closure was not an attractive alternative. Greens Creek is on Admiralty Island, about 18 miles south of Juneau, and is one of the leading silver mines in the world, producing 2,200 tons a day of a fine sand concentrate containing silver, zinc, gold, or lead. The mine employs 390 people directly and has a payroll of $54 million. The Greens Creek ore deposit was discovered in 1975, 3 years before most of Admiralty Island became a national monument. The federal legislation allowed for the development of a mine in the event the deposit proved up. The mine was closed for 6 years in the 1990s because of low mineral prices. Hecla was part owner with Kennecott in those days. In 2008, Hecla bought out its partner for $750 million. These numbers had the attention of the Sitka Chamber audience. In June, the Assembly postponed consideration of spending $72,000 on a geotechnical survey along Green Lake Road. Satry is also a professional geologist. He explained that although Greens Creek was on the next island, geologically it was a world apart. He said that the ore deposit was formed hundreds of millions of years ago as black sulfide-rich gases billowed from an ancient seabed.
Luckily, at that same time that those sulfides were being ejected from these vents, there was some real muddy carbonate-rich sediments were being deposited right on top of that, and they preserved that ore body over the years. And that formed many thousands of miles away from us, and just like the rest of Southeast Alaska, through plate tectonics, was slammed up against the North American Craton, and it's where it's at today.
Ironically, mining was one of Sitka's largest industries following the Russian transfer in the 19th century, with 40% of residents involved in the search for gold, according to a research paper by Matt Hunter, who currently holds a seat on Sitka's assembly. none of the dozens of mines or claims in the area ever repaid their investment. Nevertheless, Sitka Economic Development Director Gary White, who attended the presentation, asked Satre where he thought mineral prices were headed. Satre responded, as he has likely many times before, "If I knew that, I wouldn't have to work in a mine." Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
You can find links to more information about the Greens Creek Mine, plus Matt Hunter's paper on 19th century gold mining near Sitka, at our website, kcaw.org. A Petersburg Republican is hoping to unseat a freshman Democrat from Sitka in the state House next year. Stephen Samuelson announced he'll seek GOP nomination for House District 35. If he got the nomination in the August 2014 primary, he'd face State Representative Jonathan Christ Tompkins in the general election. Legislative districts for next year have not yet cleared a legal challenge, but at least two people intend to run for the new district. That includes Sitka, Petersburg, Craig, and other communities on the northern half of Prince of Wales Island. Jovic Nicky reports.
36-year-old Stephen Samuelson works at the grocery store Hammer and Wecon in Petersburg. He's also part of the management of the local company that offers hardware and convenience stores in town. Samuelson twice ran in the state primary against Wrangell Republican Peggy Wilson for her House seat. He narrowly lost to Wilson in his second attempt in 2010.
I ran two, I believe, very successful campaigns, though I didn't get the seat. I believe that this time I will. I think that we need quite a bit of support for Senator Stedman as from the representative side. I believe that the state is becoming more Republican all the time, but I also think we need somebody in the House that isn't voting party lines, that is seeking and really learning and understanding the district throughout what all the needs are here in our communities.
Samuelson says his top issues going into the 2014 election are some of the same ones from that last campaign. He says he's passionate about hydroelectric power for Southeast communities and service on the state ferry system, and he touts his experience for the new district.
Especially as a commercial fisherman for the majority of my life, working for Sitka-based Alum Marine, being in the tourism industry, working, you know, have a background in aviation, so I do understand that part of it. A lot of different things that these communities survive on and can grow with are what I'm here to help support.
If the redistricting board's latest plan survives a legal challenge, the new House District 35 will include 24 communities in Central Southeast. Those include Angoon, Hoona, Craig, Klawock, and Kuperdoff, along with Cake, Pelican, Kaufman Cove, Port Protection, and Point Baker, and other communities on the northern end of Prince of Wales Island, along with Sitka and Petersburg. Samuelson says he's been encouraged to run by Republicans in Southeast and is not daunted by the task of campaigning through so many towns. Like his past campaigns, he says he plans to go door-to-door and travel around the new district, as well as working the phones. He's also noncommittal about his stance for the change in oil taxes pushed by the governor and passed by the legislature this year.
I haven't heard anything on what are we going to do next. It's I don't like it. It's not a good plan. But nobody's really come across and said, okay, this isn't a good plan, but this is another great plan on how to get more production out of the state, how to get more oil into that pipeline. And to just say, no, we don't like it, we want more money. How do we get the growth? How do we get more production? Is it tax break? Is it the governor agrees that it is? And, you know, until I'm sitting in that seat and able to provide as much information as possible to the people and get as much information as I can, we'll just have to see where that goes.
That's a big contrast with Jonathan Christ Tompkins, who Samuelson will be running against next fall, assuming that both survive the August primary.
The oil tax cut is huge, and making sure that Alaska gets a fair share of its oil wealth and isn't giving it away to BP and Exxon and Conoco, which are already, you know, making literally billions of dollars in pure profit. And nothing wrong with that, but I don't think they need any more money that could otherwise go into infrastructure and harbors and schools. So that's a huge issue. It's the reason I ran in the first place, and it's still obviously at the forefront with this referendum coming up in this upcoming legislative session.
Chris Tompkins distributed signature booklets for the referendum to repeal the tax change and says he'll be campaigning for that issue on the primary ballot next August. He turned 24 in February. Sitka Democrat won his seat in the House in 2012 by beating incumbent Republican Bill Thomas of Haines by 34 votes. He's halfway through a two-year term representing a district including Sitka, Haines, and many of the communities that could be in the new House district. Chris Tompkins says he's passionate about the job and hopes to get reelected.
It's a great platform to affect positive change. I've been working on rural issues and commercial fishing issues, education, and doing my very, very best to stop this oil tax cut, and whether that was in the legislature, also this referendum effort. And it's a great platform to work on issues that affect people's lives, and I can't think of more gratifying line of work.
Chris Tompkins does some contract work and lists public policy analyst and writer as an occupation, but says he spends much of his time representing his district, even with the legislature out of session. He says he's excited about the election race.
I'm looking forward to meeting Stephen and hearing the ideas he's got, and I'm passionate about the job and the ideas that you can advance through the position. So it'll be a lot of fun to go through the process and talk with voters, and it's good for the district and good for the public process that it'll be a robust campaign. So I'm excited about it.
Chris Tompkins heads back to Juneau for the second session of the 28th Alaska Legislature this winter and says he'll focus on campaigning after that. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicnicki.
That's it for Raven News on KCAW. Here's a look at some local Sitka weather. It's overcast today and 61 degrees. It's 8 a.m. and stay tuned for Morning Edition and APRN. Thanks for listening. Hope you're having a fabulous morning.